Lady Jane Grey, the Nine Days Queen, was executed at the age of 16 on a chilly February morning in 1554 by order of Queen Mary I. Jane's tragedy was a heady mix of her diluted royal blood, years of political posturing, callous scheming parents, and her own precocious and some would say belligerent nature. Lady Jane Grey and her husband were imprisoned in the Tower of London and tried for high treason in November 1553. Jane pleaded guilty, although innocently so, not by intent. She was handed a suspended death sentence. Her fate was finally sealed in 1554, when her father unwittingly implicated her through his support of Sir Thomas Wyatt's religious rebellion opposing Mary's proposed marriage to Philip of Spain. However, of all the kings, queens, noblemen, scholars and vagabonds whose faces illustrate our history books, art galleries and stately homes, no validated portrait of Lady Jane Grey exists to this day. In 2006, the National Portrait Gallery, a memory of a face, once so beautiful, now lingered in my mind, like a rotting fish in a scented lady's chamber. It was an image that I couldn't help but notice, one which subsequently signalled a drastic change in my fortunes. I did not seek this turn in my life. Where I find myself today is the result of a series of events that blossomed from that one brief glance, which I couldn't let pass me by. As she absorbed the ramshackle remains of the mansion in all its glory, she couldn't help but wonder if it was even worth renovating. Forcing a smile, she tried to think of something polite to say to her host. "It's got a lot of potential," she offered. "That it has. Elliot tells me you're a historian, Alice. It should be right up your street, then, it being old and all that." He beamed, ignorant of her disdain. "Well, yes and no. British medieval history is not quite the same as Egyptian hieroglyphics. The script I study was developed 3rd of August, 1553. I have heard that Mary is back in London. I wrote to her for the witness of my innocence and the disburdening of my conscience. I realise that no one will intercede on my behalf, so I felt obliged to describe the string of events since my forced marriage to Guildford Dudley. I admitted that I was wrong to accept the crown, but impressed on her that I was merely relying on the advice of others and doing the bidding of my elders. I appealed to my cousin's goodness and clemency, so that Mary may realise that I might have taken upon me that of which I was not worthy, yet no one can ever say either that I sought it, or that I was pleased with it. I haven't heard from her yet. While I am being treated well, I am curious as to what and when will be my sentence." The old friends chatted about the renovations as they ambled out to the driveway to wait for Alice. She had changed out of her work suit and into jeans and a T-shirt, which was much more fitting for the field work, and she had tied a cardigan around her waist for the late-night stroll home. "Ready?" asked John. "Ready," confirmed Alice. "So tell us, what has Tom said so far? Was I right? Was it Latin?" "Yes, you correctly identified the language, teacher's pet," ribbed Elliot. "But he didn't give away much else. He said that it had taken two experts to translate the script, not because of the language, but because some parts were badly damaged through age. In fact, he said a lot of it was unreadable, but the bits that were legible were very intriguing indeed." "Nothing more than that? You must be dying to find out."